Welcome to my podcast, A Lyrical Singer's Life, the English version. My name is Barbara Marie-Louise Pavelka, and today I have a guest. It's Andres Rasmanis, the conductor of the first oratory of Mozart called Die Schuldigkeit des ersten Gebots, which means the obligation of the first commandment. And you will be able to hear and listen to this wonderful, precious jewel of oratories in April. And the 12th and the 13th April, we are going to perform it at 7 p.m. in Wiener Neustadt, which is in Lower Austria, at the St. George Cathedral, which is at the Burgplatz 1 in 2700 Wiener Neustadt. On the 14th of April at 3 p.m. in Vienna, also in Austria. It's in the Maria Hilfe Kirche, the Church of Maria Hilfe, which is at the Maria Hilfe Straße, the street, Maria Hilfe Street 55 in the 6th district of Vienna. And then the fourth time will be the 17th of April in the Stift Heiligenkreuz, which is a monastery in Lower Austria. You will find all the dates and you will get further informations and also the access to the other interviews about the oratory on my homepage, on my webpage. It's www.barbarapavelka.at/Mozart Oratory and Pavelka with V. You will find the link in the show notes. But now, thank you, Andres, that you're here. Welcome.
Hi, Barbara.
And we are going to talk about the music of this wonderful oratory. So, first thing to say, yeah, what do you want to say? I think it's you who should start.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm very thankful for a chance to work with this piece. And we got quite far already. So we worked more than a month, I think, for this piece. And there's still some little things to work on. But we're very happy to see the result already. And we're going on reaching the final rehearsals, and now we're preparing slowly with orchestra, and it will be interesting.
Yeah. So what do you love about the music? Which aria, which part of the oratory is your favorite?
It's hard to say because it's very concentrated and also very fine from the beginning till the end. With the overture, which is kind of a sinfonia in the beginning, and then the trio finale in the end, and in between it's just develops slowly, very very like would say with equal strength to the end. I can't say I like a special aria, but I see where the hard moments comes and where the accompagnato or recitatives comes through, and it's full of life, the whole piece.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think what is really a challenge that we discovered that in fact the recitatives there are so many. It's so unusual for an oratory, for an opera, because in fact it's really not just a concert and oratory like most oratories. It's more a spiritual opera. And you see it because there are so many recitativos, and you really feel that you need to act it out, because otherwise it's
too static.
It's too static, and you don't get the sense of it, and you don't also get the clue why those arias. If you just take the arias without the recitativos, you won't get the story.
Meaning between. Yeah, you won't get the story exactly. It's just, it can be any order actually in arias if you take them just out of the piece. but you need the development of the situations and everything. And recitatives takes like half of the piece. It's from timing, it's just exactly half or even more. Because you have to play them out, you have to react to each other, and you have to have a conversation. And yes, that's exactly. I think we do the best because we need to show the atmosphere, we need to show the emotions, we need to show the situation. And that's why we play and not only stand and sing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we interact, so also the singers interact with each other during the recitatives and also during the arias. Mm-hmm. And what I find very interesting, let's start from the beginning to the end, because through the oratory a little bit, because it starts with the justice, the role of the justice who answers to a plea of the spirit of Christ. And it's very interesting the way how the justice and also the mercy react. Mm-hmm. Because it's a little uncommon for us. In our days, in the images that we have of justice and of mercy, I think it's a little contrary to the image that we see at the time of Mozart, although the image in itself, the allegory, is static. It's something real. But I think that we somehow forgot what is justice and what is mercy. Mm-hmm. And you feel it when you work on the piece, because justice, you really see that justice and mercy are sisters. They are like twin sisters. You cannot separate them. Mm-hmm. And you never see them all alone. I mean, they have their separate arias, but they are like twin sisters. They are not, the difference is not so much. So they're very close, and they influence each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's really, really thrilling. And I think he worked it out quite well. And how they work together as well, the mercy and the justice. It's interesting.
Yes, like a glove and the hand and the glove. They work together just to influence the Christ. Yes.
Yeah. And the next thing that I really find absolutely thrilling are the recitatives as well of the Christ. Because the figure of the Christ in the recitatives. So the other figures, they all have just secular recitatives, but the Christ has parts in it where the orchestra accompanies him during the recitatives.
Yes, it gives that meaning that you have to hear every word and it's prepared the character which comes by singing of these words or describes the reaction afterwards.
The emotionality that he has, in fact.
Yes, the emotionality which he can't, which you can see, which you can hear, but you can also feel it, because the orchestra gives the feeling.
The heartbeat, that you hear the heartbeat in
heartbeat,
the orchestra.
Yes, or the, how he's shaking or something like this. Yes, yes, exactly.
It's just wonderful, so impressive.
And he was very very young, the young Mozart, like 10, 11, when he got the chance and order to write this piece. And he was 3.5 years right before that on tour in Europe, in Holland, in Germany, in France. He was very, very busy. And afterwards, when he came back, he got this challenge for himself to write this piece. Of course, you can see some elements where you see the influence from his father, that something about notation and stuff like this. But actually, Mozart really wrote this piece by himself, and he already experienced as in such a young age so many things in his life through this trip, and also the death of other people. He knows what life means at this point already. So yeah, I think the piece is deep enough to really find the lines also to nowadays, and to think how he thought in that age, also those few hundreds years ago at that time.
Yeah, I think if when I remember well, it was quite at the end of the 30-year war in Europe. Because it's in the 17th century, so from 1648, there was the 30-year war, and then afterwards Mozart was born, and yeah, so it's not so long ago. So I think he already, or don't you think? No, it's later. I think that it's like we're still thinking about the Second World War, and we're in the First World War. It's 100 years
ago, but we still
feel the shock. In fact, in our generation, what came out of this?
We heard so much stories from our families and from other people about the times when it happened. Of course, it comes through the generations.
And we just had 1 4-year war and then a 7-year war. And they had a 30-year war with a lot of hunger and everything. So I think, it was about 100 years ago when he wrote it, I think, if I remember well. So it was quite close. Mm-hmm. So I think they still had the effect of this time when they were, it was because it was written 1767, so it was about
1767, 100, exactly. Yeah.
So it was about 100 years after the 30-year war in Europe. So it's surely a shock that was still in the bones, in the flesh of everyone there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Anyway, he has experience at that age already to see so many things and at that age to take it as a life is, what he sees, and not everything beautiful and nice. And you see the life, how terrible it can be, and then you have the sight of the life from 0 to 100. Yeah, and this piece I think shows the emotional deeps and ups and everything, and like the aria of Christ, where he has to sing so low in the small octave, and then he have to jump in the middle or the end of the first, and so huge jumps, which is so hard to sing, and even at that time I thought Mozart is very challenging also for the singers at that time when he was so young. It's interesting. You show not only emotions, but also your technical abilities. And not only Christ, it's like half of the roles are full of challenges. And that's the interesting about this piece. It's never boring, actually. There's no choir, yeah. So,
yeah, I think what is really, really interesting is that some arias are in the style and in the way that he composed it quite similar, although they are different roles. But like the one role like this, the other role like this, and I think that the a little bit the aria of the Mercy is in the structure similar to the second aria of the Ghost of the World. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because it's also allegro and andante, and then again allegro and andante. Mm-hmm. Whereas you have, for example, the aria of the justice, where you have the first allegro, then you have an adagio, and then you have the second allegro. Mm-hmm. And the thrilling and the challenging thing for me as a director is to work out, and I think Salpi does it quite well, to work out these different types of allegro. The first one was really friendly, nice, funny, although the text is, you know, the meaning is hard, and the second one that is more you can, serious, you know.
Yeah.
They say, hey, now, behave, yeah, like this. I mean, you're going to end up not quite evil if you're going to if you follow the way that you're doing at the moment. And
exactly, you can actually build up the tension through that music, even you have the same material, and then there's those contrasts in between, as you said, adagio, mm-hmm. and it's more tragic or more like with a pain in it, and
yeah, really.
And then
so
and then
really
then
so like
you jump immediately to the next
thing, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly, and I like also those general pauses, breaks, which he writes in as a how to say, to build up the tension before mm. something comes, and mm. then it comes like from the clear sky.
Yeah,
it's full of surprises. I like the piece.
Yeah, and what I love as well is the recitative of the Christ before it comes to his aria, because I think it's so emotional. And I think that Feig, who's singing the Christ, makes it really, really well.
He makes it, I would say, even personal, yeah, because he has to say about, he has something to say about it. And
yeah, he experienced,
yes,
you know, I mean, he experienced war. He comes from Kosovo, mm-hmm. so he knows what war and death means, and the anxiety that you really have to be anxious, because you know that your life is in danger, and you feel it when he performs it, and I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He does it quite well. He's a good actor. He's a good singer and good actor.
Yes, and you can see how the orchestra accompanies him in between, and those characters which comes out, and I would say those elements which describes the text so well, and how it binds together with the following things, and how he takes over from the orchestra the atmosphere, and how it goes into aria. It's has to match somehow, and I think it matches with him. So we found a good good one who can make it.
Absolutely. And what is really, really cool is also the, I mean, I'm singing the Spirit of the World, so I, of course, appreciate those arias. And I think it's quite funny singing them and acting them out. So there will be a lot of surprise for you as well, for the audience. But I think it's very interesting how Mozart worked out the Spirit of the World, because you see, I think that it didn't really change from his time to our time. It's this, he seems so nice.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem like a devil, you know, like we would want the devil to act, because you know today when you see Hollywood films, you see the devil immediately, yeah. But I think it's so interesting and thrilling in this piece that at first he seems so harmless, so nice, so because it just says, you know, I mean, forget your dreams, forget your anxiety, enjoy your life. Go dancing, follow your lusts, do whatever you like. So in this, just have fun, you know, mm-hmm. like today's world. So like, do whatever you like. I mean, it's the same spirit. It's the same. It didn't really change. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really interesting. But, and it's also interesting that you don't get the following up of this mentality, of this spirit of the world, when you listen just to this first part of this big three-part oratory work, mm-hmm. Because the second and the third part are lost. It's a real pity, yes. But the real interesting moment is that you see in the second part, which was composed by Michael Haydn, and there you see the effect of this, yeah, do whatever you like, where, yeah, they are at the party and then someone is stealing his girlfriend and he feels, and she's betraying him and he gets jealous and then the world spirit tells him to kill him. Mm-hmm. So don't, you know, your honor and everything, so that it leads to this part that he's starting to in fact, that he starts out of this harmless thing, like do whatever you like. Mm-hmm. It leads to murder in our time today, especially in Austria, as we had to, in this year already. So we're in the beginning of March, and we had so many news about murders out of jealousy, like never ever before, and not just foreign people, also Austrian people. Mm-hmm. And so this is really a thing where you really feel, okay, there is something wrong. And I think it's quite interesting that the first part of Mozart composed leaves the decision open.
Yeah, and it builds up slowly later, because you can see how harmless it develops, because every of these characters have their own experience, something to say, but you never know how deep their thoughts actually are enough, not yet. And even the spirit of the world is one of those special ones which can look from one side so harmless, and from other side you know that he has so much experience that he can show also his devil side, you know.
Yeah,
that's really so true.
Tiny glances in between, mm-hmm. of the
truth. Between the lines.
Between the lines, yeah, mm-hmm. Tiny. So very, very hided, but you see it. Yeah, I think it's quite interesting. But you see, it's a question also of responsibility that, in fact, that's the reason why the spirit of Christ, is so anxious about the life of the Christ, because he feels, and also the justice and the mercy. I think it, when you read the lines in between the meaning, it means that the Christ, he's not aware that he is responsible for his life, mm-hmm. and that he has not just, I mean, it doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't enjoy life, but that you have to take on responsibility, that you don't just have rights, but you have a responsibility. And every right, every freedom that you have means that you have to also, indeed, the flip side of the right is the responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you can see how all those three figures see how strong actually is a spirit of world, because they know that Christ is somehow still on the ghost of world, spirit of world side, so easily to slip in the idea of understanding of the world, and That's a hard thing, and the spirit of the world knows how close Christ wants to be next to him, mm. and wants to feel,
mm. yeah,
and how easy to manipulate with him.
Absolutely, it's yeah. just the breakfast. He's just saying, okay, let's go to the breakfast.
Exactly.
I mean, take a breakfast with other people, enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
Meet other people. It's very interesting. That's the, how you say, that's the trap.
Mm-hmm. That's an easy trap for
That's
for
a very easy trap, yeah. yeah. It's really easy. But you see also, and it comes out that the world spirit knows that his enemy, the spirit of Christ, is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, on the other hand, it's a real big effort getting the Christ to this point, because the aria is very, really long,
mm-hmm.
and very right. intense, very intense. It's a very long aria and it's very intense. And he really tries to get the Christ into this, yeah, have fun. And you see the recitativo at the end that he didn't really get him.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
That the Christ couldn't forget the dream.
Yeah. It was just too powerful for him to overcome afterwards. So easy.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's a real interesting thing that I feel.
That's why you can just bind it together with the nowadays, how we react to things and how we actually still think, how we as people react to what happens with us, and how people never change in some way. Mm. Also from that time, yeah, you can always find some lines in your own life in this piece, and your understanding and your reactions.
Mm.
Of these figures, which speaks to you as a person,
yeah, that's
as a Christ, a person who suffers from and enjoys the life like nobody else from those figures.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Who is in between those two powers? The world spirit who somehow wants him to forget that he has to take on responsibility for his life,
mm-hmm.
and the spirit of the of God, the spirit of Christ, together with justice and mercy, who remember him. You know, I mean, but you have to take on responsibility for your life. It's not just fun. You know, it's also life threatening. Life is an adventure. It's not a just feel good tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's ups and downs, but you are responsible also for your life.
It's so interesting. At some point, you think, "My God, it's so deep. The piece is so deep with so much thoughts and experience." And then you think, "Yeah, who wrote it?" A 10-year-old, exactly. Who wrote it? I mean, give the meaning musically through this piece and explain it and write it and write every note for every syllable. Who did it? He was 10 years old. That was Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. It's amazing, amazing.
Amazing. And it seems at first glance very easy. Going,
mm-hmm.
So, but it's really deep from the meaning. It's really, really
exactly,
deep.
And the harmonies in recitativos. I mean, you have to show the right emotions at the right time, and how it goes through those simple harmonies, and mm. how he gives the meaning in special moments.
Mm.
It's just not only an aria; it's also recitatives. Recitative who gives the right tension and meaning sometimes, and it's like white and black. It's there.
Absolutely.
You can see it immediately, and it's
I think I feel from myself, for the world spirit, that sometimes the recitatives, it seems to me, because sometimes the recitatives are very high mm-hmm. and sometimes they are quite low. And I think it's very interesting because always when he's so high, it's a little bit fake and it's a little bit hysterically, but also fake, I think, mm-hmm. because you always see that when he talks to the audience, beside he makes those beside comments, he's always lower.
Always more serious.
Always more serious. Yeah. And you feel like, okay, no. That's no one who wants the good for this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and the other one is so like when he's telling him to come to the breakfast, yeah, or then I think, and he's in, alles ist bereit. Mm-hmm. And it's so, everything is ready. It's a little bit so high that I think it's, I always have the feeling that it's just fake what he's doing, what he's saying to the Christ, so fake. I mean, you know, like people when they act friendly to you, but when you turn your back, you feel the knife. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like this.
Mm-hmm. It's even more astounding that Mozart had already full of. He gave the meaning such situations so clear and so powerful.
Good observer.
Exactly. Already at that age, it's amazing. So this is really full of life piece, actually. You have to come and hear it.
Absolutely. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara.
And thank you, dear audience, for listening and your attention. And I wish you a wonderful evening, a wonderful night, or a wonderful morning whenever you're listening to this podcast.
Bye-bye.